Philippians chapter number 2, amen. Verse number 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. My, what a verse. Actually, what two verses. Verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. I believe I just described America. The Bible was written a long time ago, but is accurately describing our nation. And the Bible says, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And we'll stop reading there, but ask you to pray for us, that God would help us and use us this morning for His honor and His glory. Heavenly Father, we come in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank You that we have access to the throne. Thank You today that we are King's kids, we that are saved, and we have throne rights and throne privileges here today. And I want to thank You today that, Lord, when we bow our hearts in prayer, dear Father, that our prayers would be heard of Thee. Lord, as long as there's nothing between us and You, and Lord, we've tried to get that taken care of on a continual basis. Lord, and I pray You'll use the message this morning that You've been working in my heart for probably a week or more now. And Lord, You let me know that this morning was the morning You'd have me to preach this message. Lord, maybe even the whole day, maybe this morning and tonight. But anyway, Lord, we'll just leave that with You. I pray You'll direct my thoughts and help me to get personal with this awaiting congregation. Lord, we're not here, God, playing church this morning. We're not here going through some religious routine. We are here this morning, dear Father, on business, divine business, business of heaven. And so I pray now that You will speak to hearts, do what needs to be done, and we'll praise You and thank You for it. Oh, we ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. I'm interested in, of course, all of the verses that I've read from today. And we'll be preaching from these verses and in these verses. But I would like to get our thought out of verse number 12 and 13. The Bible says, I would like to read these two verses again. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed. What a statement about the saints of God. What a statement that a preacher could say about somebody that he had won to the Lord. Amen. Paul's writing to the church at Philippi that he himself, God through him, had started and founded. And many of these people, if not all of them, he had led to the Lord. And he's telling them, wherefore, my beloved. Well, there ought to be a beloved relationship between you and your preacher. Now, I didn't mean to get up here to say that, amen, or what I'm about to say, but Lord has brought it to my attention, wherefore, my beloved. Amen, there ought to be a beloved relationship between a preacher, a pastor, and his flock, amen, and that church. There ought to be a beloved, and I've always said, if the devil's first, and we've seen it here many times, that's not the message, but it's what God wants me to say right now. Amen. We've seen it many times when the devil changes your mind about your preacher and starts changing your feelings and your heart and your attitude toward the man of God without biblical cause, my friend, then note that is your first step in a very downward and backward direction. Wherefore, my beloved, Paul, could I borrow your words this morning and address RBT? Wherefore, my beloved, amen. Listen, you're not just saved people. You're not just a church. I believe I could borrow Paul's words and say, my beloved, amen. I love you, church. That's why I want to preach to you the truth of God's word, amen. My beloved. Boy, I felt God on me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, amen. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out, note those two words, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13, for it is God which, note these words, worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You say, preach, what do you want to preach on this morning? I want to preach a burden of my heart, working out what God has worked in. That is the burden of my heart for our church. I may never preach it again, may never preach it nowhere else. But I want to tell you, God is sending it out to RBT here today. I'm very disturbed, and have been for a long time. How many people profess Christ as Savior, but fail to go on and continue and to progress and to grow in their faith? I'm bothered by that. People remaining spiritual is getting more and more scarce. Amen? I mean, it's now got to the place where somebody goes to the altar, you've got the thought in your mind, well, I wonder how long this will last. That ain't the way it should be. That shouldn't be the way it is. Amen. We should never be able to say in our old carnal opinion and minds, amen, that when somebody goes to the altar and profess Christ, that we say, well, I'm going to wait 6 months before I shout about it. Are you listening? I'm going to tell you, Brother Craig, my confidence in God has been under attack here in the last couple, 3 weeks, more than it has been in many a long time. The devil trying to change my mind, trying to get me to doubting God, that He can change lives and save sinners and work in people's lives. You know what I'm talking about. We've seen people go to the altar, and we've seen them express all kinds of emotions and so forth and so on. But seemingly the fruit is absent. It seems like there's no fruit. I want to tell you, that's been going on for a long time. And that bothers me. And that may not be said of everybody, but generally, that has been the consensus. Amen? That's bothering me. I don't want to hear somebody to say that they've repented. I want to see fruit. Amen? The Bible talks about, John the Baptist said, bring forth fruit meet for repentance. Amen. Amen. I believe that if God does something, there'll be His fingerprints all over it. Amen. You can't go out at night or even in the day and look at God's mighty creation without seeing, as David declares, the handiwork of God. Amen. God can't do anything without leaving evidence and without leaving His fingerprint. And I want to tell you, when God saves a person, He makes them a new creature, a new creation. They will have His fingerprints on you, just as the potter will leave His fingerprints on the pottery. Amen. Amen. Your salvation is eternal, but your experience is not. Are you listening? Your salvation is eternal, but that experience, my friend, is not. Amen. That's right. That's why that so many are so high on the day of salvation. They're so high when they first announce that they're saved. But then a few weeks, a few days, some even a few hours, amen. And for others, maybe even a few years, they started in a decline. They start in a tailspin. Next thing you know, half of them don't even go, over half, don't even go to church and never talk about God. And I want to tell you, that bothers me. I don't find that in the Word of God. Amen? Now, I can't stand up here with authority and say they're not saved. I can't stand up here with authority and say there's a problem. There is a big, major problem, friend. Amen, people that does that.
I didn't get it that way.
You say, preacher, you wasn't all that bad. Oh, no. If you look up Webster's, look up the word heathen, it'd have my name in the definition. Amen. Amen. It didn't just say, just have my name. Wouldn't even say nothing else. Just say, heathen, barackly. Amen. Because I was a heathen, no account, good for nothing. Wasn't worth a salt in my bread. Are you listening? How that God saved me. And I want to tell you, I've not been perfect. No, not by a long shot. And I want to tell you, bless the Lord, I've not been what I used to be. Oh, thank God for the change that Christ makes in a person's life. Amen. Hallelujah to God. I feel like running around the building. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. But I believe that what I described there moments ago is a failure of what I'm going to be preaching on. A failure of working out what God has worked in. A lot of cases, that's the truth. Amen. Listen, I made the statement, throat some of you a little bit, about your salvation is eternal. Amen. I believe that. I believe the Bible teaches that. Now, I'm not going to get on that, but I believe the Bible teaches that. There's multiple verses that would suggest that, and not suggest that, but this plain out says it. Amen. But I want to tell you, dear friend, your experience needs some maintenance. Your experience needs some maintenance. You'll never live long enough to convince this preacher that the greatest day of your life was the day you got saved. Now, wait a minute. I know some of you look at me like, what have you been? No. I believe I can prove you from the Scripture that the day of salvation, oh, how great, how wonderful, praise God. And it is the greatest day up to that point. And it is the greatest thing that ever happened to anybody. But I believe I can show you from the Scripture that salvation's only the beginning. That salvation is only the start. Amen. Amen. Hey, glory to God. My physical birth was a great day in my life. I've been celebrating it every year. Amen. Used to, they're all willful. Now they're of necessity. They just come along. Amen. And there it is. Amen. Hey, but you know what? January 1st, 1961, great day in my life. Hallelujah. Not the greatest day. You see, when I was born physically, Brother Jeremy, that was a great day. But that was only the beginning of a physical life, a human life. There was a whole lot of things I didn't enjoy that day. A lot of things I didn't even know about that day. Amen. In fact, amen, a lot of my knowledge was very limited at that day. But oh, since then, I've had some wonderful days. Amen. Because of that day. Amen. Nothing will ever do away with the day you get saved. Nothing will ever do away with that day. God don't want you to forget it. He don't want you to get over it. He don't want you to leave it behind. He wants you to build on it. Work out what God works in. Get saved, God works it in. After you get saved, you work it out. Amen? Now listen to this. You can't expect one service to carry you. You can't expect one revival to carry you. You can't expect one experience to carry you. Amen? No more than you can expect one meal to carry you. Are you listening? How many? I mean, listen, I'm not preaching in Israel. I'm preaching in Rogersville this morning. Amen. I'll preach to the Jews when I get to Jerusalem. Amen. But right now we're preaching to the RVTers. Amen. Amen. That's right. I want to tell you, dear friend, you have that, you get saved or whatever, and praise God, you soar high. Or you get right with God, you soar high. And I want to tell you, it won't last. Salvation lasts. But the experience requires some work and responsibility and maintenance on your part. Amen. Amen. God puts it in you. But you've got to get it out. I'm going to preach on that. I mean, we're going to dig it out. Look at the word wherefore in verse 12. Amen. Well, I felt as much God already preaching today as I felt a long time here. Be honest about it. Verse 12, wherefore, note that word. That word, wherefore, connects what has been said to what is now getting ready to be said. Amen? You say, what has been said? Well, if you were to go back in verse 5 through 11, and you'll find where Jesus is exalted and magnified. Amen? He is lifted up and exalted in these verses. Amen? No, I mean, you could go back and read it. Just read one verse here, verse number 9. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted Him, given Him a name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Wherefore? Oh, and then He goes into dealing with us. Amen? You say, preacher, what's he saying with that wherefore? He's telling us in light of Christ's example, it should affect us. There should be, who Christ is should affect us. Amen? That's simple, that's basic, but how profound. Who Christ is and what Christ is, my friend, should affect us. Amen? But notice this. He didn't just go and show who Christ was in verse 5 through 11 and magnify that and exalt Him. Amen. But you know what? He comes into verse number 12 and 13 and following and shows us that that same Christ, my friend, is working in your life. Here's the point. Here's the point. Paul had dealt with Jesus as being our example in verse 5 through 11. And Jesus is our example. You may could compare yourself to other church members. You could compare yourself to other people. Amen. And maybe make yourself look good. Amen. You're probably not going to compare yourself, some do, to people that are maybe on down the road further than you or on a higher plane than you do. Most time that don't happen. You'll compare yourself to people to make you look good. Amen. But people's not the standard. Am I not right on that? Amen. Paul told the Corinthian believers, they that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. Amen. Comparison is the message of Hollywood. Amen. Compare yourself to movie stars. Compare yourself to the American dream and match yourself to it. Amen. See, it don't bother me because they're not my heroes. Amen. There's no pressure on me, Brother Jeremy, because I don't look up to them. Amen. I don't esteem them to be on a better level, higher level, got something I don't have. No, I've got plenty they don't have. Amen. Hallelujah, that's right. Amen. I know King Jesus. Amen. He's my personal and best friend. But here's the thing I want to show you. Paul now turns in our text from the illustration of Christ to the Christian's obligations to Christ. You listening? Thank God for the illustration of Christ. But then there's the obligation of the Christian. Paul moves from dealing with the divine side of Jesus' work for our salvation to the people's side of our work in salvation. Amen? Paul went from dealing with the price and person of salvation to the people and purpose of salvation. He deals with the divine side, a work that God has to do, but then there's a human side that we do. Amen? All right, now listen. Paul, verse 12, starts dealing with the aspect of salvation that most do not want to hear about. And that is, you are responsible. Listen, you're not responsible for destiny. God takes care of destiny. I believe I can say it this way, and I want y'all to hear me now. I want you to hear me. Hear God's Word. I emphasize God's Word. God takes care of your destiny, but whether salvation is a delight or not, that is up to you. God can take care of the destiny. You are in charge of the delight. If you're miserable, my friend, look like salvation was a severe case of some kind of epidemic, amen, and it's killing you, no hope to live. My friend, listen, something's wrong with that. You didn't get that from God. God don't save you to make you miserable. God don't save you to ruin you and make you worse. God saves you, thank God, amen, puts you in His family to make you better, to make you His, amen. Sure. Sure, that's right. Paul deals, amen, some of y'all need to know that. Salvation is eternal, praise God. But the enjoyment of salvation, my friend, is conditional. That's right. You can't hardly go in church and find 10 people in the average church that's got any Christian joy about them. But they'll tell you they're saved. Some of them will. Some of them haven't testified in 25 years. But they'll tell you that under pressure they're saved. Salvation not worth talking about is a salvation not worth having. Amen? Amen? I'm about convinced a lot of people don't say nothing because they don't have nothing to say. Amen? That's about it. But responsibility, my friend, is your part. Work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Paul goes from what Jesus did to what we're supposed to do. Amen? But you know what I found out? There's a connection as far as I rejoicing on both of those. You won't shout about what Jesus did if you're not working out what He's done. Amen. You can't get excited about redemption if you're not excited about responsibility. Amen. We'll give all the call in a minute. You can't get excited about heaven if you're not excited about heaven in you now. God working in you now. Amen. I've preached it here. I want to feel like a broke record, but I preach to here. You've already got heaven's life in you if you're saved. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Eternal life is God's life. God's already given you, when you get saved, truly saved, God gives you heaven's life. The life I will have 20 billion trillion incalculable years from now, I have now. You say, but preacher, I'm going to kick up gold dust when they get over there and have a spell and shout and run the Hallelujah Boulevard. Well, why ain't you doing it here? You say, well, preacher, if you was going through what I was going through, you'd understand why I'm dead and defeated and depressed and quiet and detached and declining. Well, I thought Paul said, though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Paul said he's cast down but not forsaken. Amen. Amen. Paul said the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Paul said about 35 years of suffering in 2 Corinthians 4, amen, verse 17. He said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us the far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Boy, it's a preaching atmosphere here this morning. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Are you enjoying your salvation or are you enduring it? Amen. Are you enduring your salvation? If you are, it won't be long. You'll be fizzled out. If you're enduring it, hanging on, holding on, going to church, and it's a drudgery to go to church, never read your Bible, and when you do, you hate it. Amen. Never pray. You don't even ask a blessing over your food. And then you wonder why in the world you're drying up. Listen, here, let you in on something. Don't blame God with that. Don't blame His church with that. Don't blame His Bible with that. Don't blame His Son with that. Don't blame His Spirit with that. That's you. I wouldn't have to have... Listen, come on now. I wouldn't have to have too big of a shovel to dig around in your life, and I could find piles of carnality, I promise you. Amen. Carnality. Listen, I'm not being mean. I'm trying to preach the truth. Amen. It's been on me for several days to preach this. Are you listening? Amen. God help us. That's right. The Bible said to be carnally minded is dead. If there's deadness in your life, that's not of the Holy Ghost. That didn't come from heaven. That didn't come from Jesus. No, if there's deadness in your life or deadness in our church, that's attached to the flesh, amen, and to sin. Amen. Preach, preacher! Amen. Why, listen. What is Paul not saying? I'm not even getting started yet this morning. What is Paul not saying when he says, work out your own salvation, fear and trembling? Well, these are quick and easy. He's definitely not saying, work for it. That would contradict everything in the Bible, amen? That would contradict God being the God of grace. We're saved by grace. That unmerited, undeserved favor. So he's not telling us to work for it. And he's not telling us to work to keep it. Amen. I just thought I'd let you know that works is not attached to getting it. And works is not attached to keeping it. What is attached to getting it is the same thing as attached to keeping it. Jesus is all it took to get it, and Jesus is all it takes to keep it. Amen. You say, well, that's a license to sin. Well, you need to study your Bible. I've never preached that. I've been accused. We Baptists have been accused of that, Brother Rob. But I've never preached that. Guess what? I've been preaching soon to be 29 years. I've never heard nobody preach no such as that. But we get accused of that. In fact, the truth is, I preach it tighter than that crowd that says you can lose it. I guarantee you that's right. See, when they come through the door, Brother Brian, of salvation, when they come through the door of salvation, and salvation is a door, John 10:10, I am the door, they leave the door open. They leave the door open. You know, if I come in and look around and salvation ain't all what I want it to be, or all of a sudden I want to go on me a little wild spree, I'll just go back out the door, and then later on, after I get done with all that, I'll come back in and get saved again. Now, I want to tell you what the Bible does. When you go through the door is closed. Amen. When Noah got in the ark, the door didn't stay open. In fact, Noah couldn't open the door. Hey, what if somebody on board would have wanted off? There was no way to get out except the door. And amen. And even the door was sealed with pitch. Are you listening? Amen. Had the door opened and let one out, it would have plunged everybody into judgment and condemnation. Amen? Amen. Well, I'm not working to keep it. I'm not working to get it. I'm not working. Amen? Listen, here's something else he's not saying. I'm not working toward it. Well, I'm working on it, preacher. One day maybe I'll get it. No? No? And then here's another thing Paul is not saying. Paul is not saying, as a preacher, I want to do it. It was a blessed day in my ministry. It's really saved me a lot of shot nerves and ulcers when I realized that salvation is not my doings. And even the work after salvation is not my doings. Oh, I tried to do that a few times. Amen. And I think the Holy Ghost needs my assistance a few times. Amen. But I'd lay awake at night and stomach trouble and everything else and high blood pressure while everybody, those that I was worried about, my friend, was sleeping like a baby. Amen. I like what Psalms 100 says. We are His sheep and the people, His people and the sheep of His pasture. I said, Lord, they're your problem. They're your people. You worry about it. I'm going to sleep. Amen. He's not going to worry about it. But let me deal with this first one. I need to deal with this first one. I need to deal with this first one. Number one, I want to talk about the illustrations of this work. The illustrations of this work. Well, what are you talking about? The illustration. This is good. I hope you get it. I may not get no more than this. The illustrations of this work is behind the word work out. There is three word pictures. There's three word pictures that shows the meaning and the depth of what that means to work out. One is a math problem. Two is a mine, like a coal mine or a gold mine. Three is a farm or a field. Work out your own salvation as you would work out a math problem. Now, you working the math problem doesn't make the math problem. You working the math problem only brings it to its complete end. That's good. I remember back when Blake did algebra. I can't do that. That's crazy. X, Y equals Z and Q and W and all that stuff. I like 2 plus 2 is 4. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Praise God, give me a calculator. I ain't worried about it. But when he would do algebra, and Brother Carroll helped him with that a lot, he would have one little old problem. I mean, wasn't that big. Just a one line, you know. And I thought, my, so. That looks to be pretty easy if you know what all the Y's are and X's and W's and Q's and everything. But you know what? When he'd get done with it, Brother Carroll, some of them problems would be a whole page. Of course, I didn't look at it spiritual. I don't know how you look at algebra spiritually, but now I look back and think, if I was to look at that one little old problem that was up there initially to start with, and then look at all that came out of that. See, all that whole page of stuff was in that. I just couldn't see it. See, all that whole page, amen, all that whole page was all in that one little old problem right there. But I couldn't see it. Because here it is, I didn't know how to work it. See, there's a whole lot. In fact, there's no human language to be able to describe all that's in salvation. And sometimes you look at salvation, you look at it, and you think, man, there ain't nothing much to that. It's what a lot of sinners think. And I think that's what a lot of church members think. Because they're living little lives. That ain't much to that. That's just a little deal. But if you'll work it, listen to this. Brother Carroll, the problem in itself was just on part of one line. But what was in the problem worked out, filled several lines. In other words, what was in it was a lot greater than just it by itself. Why wouldn't anybody want to be saved? Why would not anybody want to be saved? You know why? They've seen a lot of people that walks around and all they've got is the math problem that says saved. Saved? Saved. Kind of like I'd look at that algebra problem. Y plus X, W and Q. I'd look at it. What's that? You know? Amen. And that's what a lot of people think about salvation. They think, well, there ain't much to that. They need to see you with that worked out and look at the enormous, inexplainable, incomprehensible results that comes out of it. But it won't come out of it unless it's being worked. And here's the thing. You won't work it out if you don't know. Amen. Listen, the Bible says that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Amen. Listen, you need to get all you can get. You need to get all the preaching you can get. You need to get all the Sunday school teaching you can get. By the way, I thought I'd just let everybody know we're still having Sunday school. And I thought I'd let everybody know, including me. I've been saved 28, soon to be 29 years. I still need the teaching of the Word of God. Amen. I don't get to do it much, but I like to go somewhere where I can just slide in on a pew and sit and listen to somebody preach to me. I don't get to do that much. I even tell them, I don't want to preach. Just let somebody else preach. I need preaching. Well, you can get that somewhere else. You're preaching today. Well, I'll get up and let it rip. Amen. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. The more instruction you get, preach the Word. Amen. The Word of God is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction. Brother, listen, you can't work out that math problem if you don't know how to do it. Amen. Blake come to me with that and he, well, it's a joke. If you get past division and minus and plus and something I can work on a calculator, forget it. Amen. God didn't call me to be a math teacher. Say amen right there, Miss Paul Sue. Amen. God called me to preach. Amen. But here's the thing. I don't know nothing about that. Therefore, I can't work it. God gives you salvation, but you're going to have to learn to work it out. You're going to have to get in the Word of God. You're going to have to be discipled. You're going to have to get in Sunday school. You're going to have to sit under preaching. Not only that, you need to do your own personal study. Brother Clifford, am I not wrong? Did you refer to this morning, study to show thyself approved unto God? 2 Timothy 2:15, did you not, in opening a Sunday school? That's not a preacher's verse. That's a believer's verse. You say, well, preacher, I don't know how. Learn. Ask questions. Amen. When I got saved, listen, when I got saved and God called me to preach, I was just 20 years old. I wasn't an old man. Still ain't, praise God. But I wasn't old. But you know what I spent my time doing? I would go to church. to church, to church, to church, not church hopping. I'd go through the week. If there's somewhere in the revival, I was there. We'd have all night prayer meetings. We'd have Bible studies. Amen. We'd get together. And you know what I spent a lot of my time doing? I spent a lot of my time hanging around older people that had been in the faith a long time, asking them questions, listening to everything they said. Why? Because I wanted to learn. I wanted to learn. Amen. Amen. You don't just fall out of a tree and be a great Christian. The potential was in the problem, but you got to work it out. Bring it to its full end. And Brother Carroll, I'll tell you, when you work a math problem like that, you work it till you can't work it no more. And you've got the answer. Am I right on that, Brother Carroll? If it'll keep breaking down and keep breaking down and keep this and that and the other, amen, then you're not done with it. Amen! Some people act like they're done with it. Amen. They've been saved 30 days and act like they're done with it. Amen. Amen. Been saved 6 months, act like they're done with it. Hey, I got news for you. It'll still break down. There's, amen. You can still, I don't know what you call it, what the actual word is, where you can just keep taking it on and on and on. Is there a word for that, Brother Carroll? Who knows? Amen. Don't answer, Brother Carroll. I made you look good there a minute ago. Amen. Hey, God's not done yet. You mean to tell me? Listen, I'm trying to get to the mind and field here in a minute. You mean to tell me that no more joy than I see in church, no more power than I see in church, and no more peace that I see in people is all that's really in salvation? Are you listening? I could go to Walmart and get more than what most people's got. You say, preacher, what's the problem? We're not working out what's in us. God puts it in you, but He's not going to work it out of you. That is us. That's you. Let me give you this real quick and deal with these other two. Not only the math problem illustration, but also that of a field. God gives you the field, but it needs plowing. God gives you the field. There's potential in the field to produce a great harvest. In fact, by the law of sowing and reaping, you can produce a lot more than you plant. Amen. Boy, if we could get a hold of that, it would turn us. It'd set us on fire for God. Amen. There's more there. Amen. Listen, the potential's there. The potential for you having joy and peace and satisfaction and contentment and having a real influential testimony, amen, is all in there. You being a joyful Christian is in there. God put it in you when He saved you. God gives you the field, but you're going to have to work it. Amen? Don't whine around and say, well, you know what, I've got all this farm here in my life, you know, but nothing ever seems to come out of it. Well, have you done any plowing? Well, no. Have you dealt with any of the weeds in your life? Well, no, not really. I just kind of hold the title and think, well, I've got a farm now. I'm important. No, the potential's there, but you've got to work it. Amen. You've got to plow it. You've got to plant it. You've got to work it. It'll produce. It'll produce. Salvation will produce more joy than you can handle. And then the third one is a mind. It's like a mind. Working the mind don't put the gold in it. Working the mind don't put the coal in it or the silver in it or whatever else is in it. God put that in it in creation. But when you mine it, you're having to dig. You're having to dig. Amen. Listen, and you do a lot more digging than you do getting out. At times. There's times, no doubt, those miners, and thank God I'm not one of them, amen. But I've talked to some. Miss Stapleton was raised up in coal mine country, and her daddy and all them in coal mines and stuff. You know what? And listen, there's days they dig nothing. There might even be weeks that they dig nothing. But then all of a sudden they break in and there it is. All that time beforehand, I thought, you know what? This ain't worth it. We're just digging, and what we got to show for it? We're just digging. We're quitting everything that's wrong. We're dressing right, living right, and we're miserable.
Come on, preacher.
Keep digging. Amen. Amen. You know why you dig? It's because dirt stands between you and gold.
Amen.
You're never going to get to the gold if you get rid of the dirt. Amen. You'll never get to the valuable till you get rid of the invaluable. I hope you're getting this. I hope I'm getting it. Work in that mind. Amen. Amen. I like that. Now listen to this. This is good. How many of you, if you knew you had oil in your backyard, would leave it alone and say, I got oil in my backyard, no big deal. You think I'm going to dig? Nah. You think I'm going to set up an oil well and drill, tap into the vast supply? Nah, it's my backyard, ain't fooling with it. That's the way it is. You say, preacher, you're crazy. How many of you, if you knew that you possess gold or some other valuable substance in your, Brother Frank, in your backyard or on your property, would you just leave it there? Would you not fool with it? Would you not dig for it? Would you not go and make the necessary steps to tap into it? Well, I guarantee it. Amen. Amen. I guarantee, Brother Frank, or any of us in here, if we had the oil in our backyard or on our property, we probably wouldn't sleep a wink until we had something in motion to get it out. Well, guess what? In salvation, you got in you a whole lot more than an oil field or a gold mine. You've got in you God's potential. God's potential. God's put it in you, and I promise you it's a lot bigger than you can mine out in a lifetime.
Amen.
Amen. You say, preacher, I've been saved X number of years. You're still not done yet.
Amen.
Just keep digging and keep mining and keep working. Just like that Bible, friend, it's slap full. It's loaded. It's inexhaustible. Amen. It's inexhaustible. But I want to tell you what, you're not going to get it unless you dig in there and get it. So there's the illustrations of the Word. Amen. Some people, now I'm going to close here in a minute. I'm not near done. Nowhere near done. I'm just on point one. That's all right. We're going to dig it out. I believe that we're digging where the oil's at. Amen. I believe we're digging on the subject that, my friend, where our church is at. I believe that. Amen. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Amen. Some people seemingly try to work out some things, but seemingly nothing ever comes out. You know what it might be? May not be nothing in there. You can't work out what God has never worked in. You ever wondered why it seemed like somebody never seemed to get it? They just never seemed to ever pan out. They just never seemed to do enough for God. Go to get saved 15 times. Make 15 professions, I should say. You don't get saved 15 times. But they make 15 professions. You know? And I've even asked several at times. I say, well, all right, okay, you need to get saved. And I don't know their heart. I don't know if they do or not. But I would ask them, you know, and I have asked several. All right, now you say you need to get saved. Well, why didn't you get saved last time? Or what are you going to do this time that you didn't do last time? Was you under conviction last time? Yeah. Did you want to get saved? Yes. Did you repent? Best you knew you repented? Yes. Did you believe God? Yes. Ask God to save you? Yes. What'd you get saved? No. Something's wrong with that. Something's wrong with that. Amen. I know, I believe, and I was one of them, that there are people in churches that do need to be saved. Amen. Brother Clifford, first 20 years of my life, Brother Jeremy, I'd go to the altar occasionally. I'd go to the altar here and there and about, you know, and I'd get on one of these little emotional revivals and wouldn't last 24, 48, 72 hours, you know, and then I'd be right back, my friend, doing the same old junk, same old garbage and cussing and all that bunch of rot. Are you listening? I wasn't getting saved. I was going to get my conscience sued. I was going for some other sideline benefits. But I want to tell you, when I went January 20th under the old-fashioned conviction and drawing power of God and got in that old-fashioned altar, listen, nobody had to tell me your life of sin is over. You're done. Your life out yonder in the fast lane is O-V-E-R, done. Done over. You're done with it. Nobody had to tell me that. I didn't have to go ask mom. I didn't have to go ask the preacher. I knew inwardly a change had been made. I knew inwardly a change had been wrought by somebody besides me, something besides religion, something besides reformation, something besides morality, and turning over a new leaf and New Year's resolutions and all of that. I want to tell you, I knew I had made contact with the Creator that transformed my life. Now I tell you, I got up out of that altar and I knew I was different. I knew it. I knew, buddy, I was satisfied right there more than I'd ever been. I was contented more than I was ever been. I knew I had tapped into the, amen, the inexhaustible supply, my friend, of joy and peace and fellowship with God. My friend, my attitude changed toward sin. My attitude changed toward God. My attitude changed toward the church, amen. Hallelujah, amen. I knew I was different, Brother Rob. I knew it, thank God. Your attitude didn't change. You're not changed. Amen. Your desires didn't change. You're not changed. If you're still the same, then you're still the same. Amen. I'm telling you, God saves people and He changes their life. I told you a minute ago, seemed like it. My confidence in God has been attacked lately. And you know who that is. That's a devil friend. I mean, I'm in my 18th year. Miss Debbie, I sit here and I think, you know, and I go back through the years, just pick out a few highlights through the years. And I think about Brother Taylor getting saved. A drunk. Right here in front of this communion table. Same preacher, same gospel. Get saved, Brother Jeremy, and his life changed. Amen. And that's just one of several. You know, I think, why is that not going on now? People go to the altar, it looks like it's the same thing, looks like it's the same deal, looks like they're getting saved, sounds like it, they're telling us to get saved, and for a while, seem like the seed sown in the parable of the sower sown on stony ground. For a while it grew, but because it didn't have no root. And the devil really started putting questions in my mind. God, what's the deal? Are you not saving anybody anymore? I know salvation hasn't changed. I know what I got 28 years ago. And that still got me. 28 years later, praise God. But I wonder, what's the deal with it? Now, I know. Listen, the world's always been the world. Sin's always been sin. The devil's always been the devil. But I want to tell you, friend, I know there's seemingly more allurements and sin is more easily accessible now and it's seemingly more in your face now than it has been in many years gone by. I feel sorry for this generation. I feel sorry for these, a lot of these young kids coming up, my friend, and we're trying to train them up to live for God in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation and a nation. And we're trying to preach spirituality, and the world's preaching carnality. Amen. We're preaching fellowship with God, and they're preaching fellowship with the world. And my friend, seemingly their message has got more power. Seem like their message, my friend, has got more fun to it than going to the house of God. And my friend, young people by the groves are leaving the things of God, the house of God. Amen. And going that direction. I don't like it. You know what I'm thinking about? I'm thinking about what's going to happen to RBT if I'm gone. Now, I'm not talking about necessarily if I just go somewhere else. I'm talking about if I kick out of here and gone. I thought about it this morning. I thought about it sitting right up there while the choir was singing. Looking at all those kids. Looking across that front row of all those kids and all those young girls in the choir singing and stuff. And I thought, you know, if I were to kick the bucket right now, something were to happen to me and I died for whatever reason, what would happen to them? I thought about it while I was sitting back there while Brother Mark was teaching Sunday school. What would happen to RBT? Is there some stability here? Listen, I'm not saying I'm carrying the load. I'm just saying, is there some stability here? Is there some spirituality here that will go on in my absence? Are you listening? That's what Paul's concern was. When he read that last verse I read, he wanted to know if his labor was in vain or not. Amen. I want to see some people, my friend, not just get saved, not just make a profession, not just send up and announce I'm saved or announce that I'm right with God. I tell you, friend, I want to see some fruit. Amen. I'm wanting to see some fruit. No fruit, no root. What do you think confession is about? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the confession, salvation. Confession of the mouth. Let me quote it there. In Romans 10 and 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Right. How many people stand up and say, I've got the heart belief, I believe, but where's the mouth confession? And by the way, I just thought to let everybody know that confession of the mouth, just like the believing of the heart, that's not just initial, that's not just a one-day deal. My friend, that is believe and keep on believing and confessing and keep on confessing.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Work out what God has worked in. Well, amen. Amen. I believe we're on it. Lord willing, I thought surely I'd get further than this, but I'm, Lord willing, our next thought, we're going to deal with the obligation of this work. We dealt with this morning just the illustration of the work, kind of what Paul had in mind when he's telling them, work out your own salvation, fear and trembling. Work out, in one verse, what God has worked in the other verse. Amen. God puts it in you, you get it out. You bring it to the surface. Amen. That's what you do when you plant a field. You put something in, amen, and you bring it to the surface. You work a mine, you're bringing to the surface what's out of sight. Amen. People can't see your heart. They don't know if you're saved or not. Amen. Come on now. Tell all that crowd that quotes the verse there in 1 Samuel, you know, God looks on the heart. And man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Tell all that crowd that's using that verse. And listen, come on. I'll be through in a second. I've never heard nobody use that verse with that in that light that wasn't trying to justify worldliness. Never have I ever heard anybody use that verse, my friend, and make the big deal about the God looks on the heart, but what they weren't trying to justify, loose living. Well, it don't matter about the outward preacher. It don't matter about the outward. God looks at the heart. Man looks at the outward. Correct. That's why you want your outward to be spiritual and sanctified and holy. That's what man looks at. And that's who we're trying to reach. That's who we're trying to present Christ to. Amen. You can keep it all bottled up inside you. You don't have nothing no how. If what you got never gets to the outside, something it ain't much no how. That's the truth. I'm not being a smart aleck. That's the truth. That is the absolute truth. Amen. Sin. I'd hate to know. Listen, I'm trying to hush. Not hard, but I'm trying. I'd hate to know that sin was greater than salvation. When I was born physically, I had a sin nature in me, Brother Mike. Didn't take it long to get on the surface. I didn't keep it bottled up. It didn't take long. The lies started coming out my mouth. Amen. It didn't take long till, you know, other rebellion started coming out, and disobedience started coming out, and, you know, all that. Amen. In other words, it was in there, but it sure didn't take it long to get out. In fact, I spent the first 20 years of my life working it out. All that sin that was in me, I was bringing it out. Amen? I'd go to places that would pull it out of me. I'd go to places where it would be attractive. Amen, Brother Jeremy. I'd run with people that would have the same as I did, you know. Lepers run with lepers. Amen! Lepers run with lepers. Amen. But the point I'm trying to make is, when you was lost, you had that sin nature that come through by birth. Didn't take long for that on the inside to get on the outside. Habits, attitude, so on. But when you get born again, God puts His nature in you. And it seems to me that there is a big problem because people contains that for years and years and years and years and years. And that never seems to come to the outside. So sin is greater than salvation. Sin come to the outside. Sin got into your actions. Sin got into your desires. You didn't care who knew it and who liked it. You was fulfilling what was in you. You lived on the outside. Amen. You lived on the outside based on what was on the inside.
That's right.
But then when you get saved, guess what? You get saved, and then all of a sudden, people just kind of like, okay, God, come inside. I want you to be my Savior. I want you to be my Lord. Take me to heaven while I die. I got Him in there. And that's where you keep Him. And He never seems to surface. How can you put the God of heaven that is so big, the Bible said He inhabiteth eternity, heaven's His throne, earth's His footstool, He can measure, my friend, the heavens with a span, and you can put Him in your little old self, and my friend, and close the door, throw away the key, and nobody ever know God is in your life? I don't believe a word of that. Work out what God works in. Let's all stand.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.